Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at cbgairport.com.
So you can order Girl Scout cookies online. That's awesome. And to give you the real experience, after you buy two boxes, a Girl Scout pops up on the screen and guilts you into buying two more.
Bob Dylan has released new music, a 17-minute song about the Kennedy assassination. Got to give it up for Bob. He's staying current. He's got a new song about the coronavirus. It's coming out in 27,000 million.
The owner of a Subway franchise in Canada was offering a special deal. Free medical mask to protect you and your kids. Buy any two regular sandwiches, get one free medical mask. And of course, the community was outraged. You don't need to offer me a mask. It's not necessary. The reason I'm buying the sandwich in the first place is so I can get the napkins for my bathroom.
I heard that people have been passing the time by stress baking, which is just like regular baking, except when it's done, you eat all of it over the sink.
There you go. Late night hosts broadcasting from home once again. Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. It's 6:37. And I guess we're going to see those clouds start to break up. Hopefully some sunshine later, although there is the off chance of a sprinkle between now and then. And we'll see temperatures warming up into the mid-50s. And we should hopefully hit 60 tomorrow. We're going to have this ride in the 60s and 70s for the foreseeable future.
Woohoo! Yeah. I'm ready. I don't like not being outside. Like, yesterday was the first day that we haven't walked in a while because it was kind of chilly and just overcasty, and I found myself missing that part of the day.
Yeah, well,
it helps to be able to go outside.
Yeah.
I was out yesterday picking up trash, which I kind of have to do every day in my neighborhood because we're in a high traffic area and wind just blows down the street, and, you know, there's people who litter, of course, as well, and you know, that had kind of calmed down for a while, but then we had that really nice weather when everybody was outside. So, like, the trash pickup was crazy. Like, I almost filled up an entire black garbage bag, and I'm finding all kinds of stuff. Like, I found a winter coat. I found a set of false teeth.
Shut up.
Oh, I even took a picture of it because I knew you wouldn't believe me.
I need you to send it to me. Is this an April Fool's prank?
No, not an April Fool's prank. I'll send it to you. And what else? Oh, and this was lovely. I found a bottle of what appeared to be Orange Crush that had discolored, and when I emptied it, it was urine.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Now,
nice.
I wasn't doing this with my hands, mind you. I have one of those litter getters, so I don't actually have to touch anything. If anyone's concerned about the sanitary way of picking things up, you know, I've got tools for it and I'm out there wearing gloves and everything, but still, like, it's got to be done, you know? I mean, that's your yard, man. That's where you live. It's our neighborhood.
Thanks for taking pride in America, Jeff. You're keeping America beautiful.
Well, there's some other neighbors in the neighborhood who do the same.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hate when I see trash on the road. It drives me nuts. I just don't understand it. I'm like, why can't people just put it in the garbage?
Yeah. Comes with the good weather, I guess. More people outside.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about streaming services, Jen.
Yeah. Last week, Morning Consult surveyed 2,200 Americans about their streaming habits while quarantined. And when it comes to which service they're using the most, clear winner is Netflix. 35% of us are doing most of our streaming on that service, followed by 10% saying Hulu, 9% Amazon Prime. Farther down the list, Disney Plus is only at 4% and Apple TV Plus is at 1%.
That surprised me. I thought Disney Plus would have done better than that.
I would have too. That one does surprise me.
I thought you were going to say, Jen, that it was the dirty sites.
The dirty ones. I don't know if they were. Do they have streaming services?
Oh,
is there
sure
a streaming porn service? Or
gee, I don't know.
I don't know.
If anybody does know, it's Tim. You don't know?
I don't. I don't pay for anything.
Who wants to do the research
on that?
But
you know people.
Tim. Yeah, that's a thing, Timmerman.
Yeah, that's a thing, Timmerman. That's true. Oh, wow.
I will say that we have not been watching a lot of Disney Plus. I have it, and I just don't know if my kid is not, like, she's almost three, so I don't know if she's quite ready to, like, watch
quite
a movie
there yet
or videos.
Yeah.
But even, like, her, I can't get her into it. I tried to get her to watch Toy Story over the weekend because it's one of my faves, and, like, the only thing we're really watching on that is, like, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or, you know, Mickey Mouse shows.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we do have HBO Max coming next month, NBC's Peacock, Debuts on the 15th for Xfinity customers and July for everybody else.
Streaming services are expensive. Boy.
Yeah. Well, they add up.
Well, especially now with.
Especially now what?
Well, I was going to say, especially now with just money being tighter for a lot of us over the next few months. You know, how many streaming services can you actually afford? You got to be choosy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you have three or four of them and they're like $14.99 a month,
right.
You might as well just, you know.
Take advantage of those introductory deals, you hope, that they're offering.
And then you feel it. Then you forget that you had an introductory deal.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you get a big fat bill and you're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, because you have to put your credit card in. Because I received something from Apple TV Plus, and since you guys liked the morning show so much, I was like, oh, I can get a year for free. Maybe I should just click on this and see how it goes.
Why not?
And so I clicked over and it was like, for the first 12 months, it's free. And then after that, you have to pay blah, blah, blah. And you put your card number in.
Well, even that, though, I think it's like $5.
It is $4.99.
$4.99, right. And there's actually a couple of shows besides the morning show on there that I've been watching that I like. But
what else is there other than the morning show?
Oh, there's the one I was telling you guys about. It was that supernatural thriller that I've already forgotten the title. I watched the whole first season.
Start with the C. Somebody told me about it too. The Formation. I can't remember what it's called.
It's really good. And then there's another one called The Money Guys or something like that that I start. I'm so bad with titles. Like I'll watch, as you can tell, an entire series of a show and really enjoy it and not even be able to tell you what the title of it is because I'm 100. That's how my brain works. What else do we have here this morning? Sportscaster Joe Buck is making headlines, having fun, posting videos of himself, doing play-by-play of mundane, everyday things like dogs playing in a puddle. I've got video here of him doing, let's see, someone sent him video of a guy landing 10 shots in a row during beer pong, and Joe Buck was willing to call it.
Look at what he is going to try and accomplish. Hit all of these without missing. All right, we've got 5 cups left. He's over halfway there. There's number 6. That means there are 4 left. My math skills are off the charts. Unbelievable. 3 left. He's got 7 in a row. Now he's got 2. How do you not freak out? How do you not clench up? How do you not just completely blow it? Knocks the cup off the table, but the ball was in. We're going to count that. Again, having trouble down at the far end. Can he do it? And 10 in a row. Unbelievable. Look at the celebration. Finish up medical school and make us proud. John Romano, glad I met you. Awesome. Keep in touch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Joe Buck, I mean, he's sitting around. He's got nothing to do. So he asked fans to send him random videos from home, and he would call the action. And if he did do one of your videos, the only thing he asked of you is that you donate to a local charity during these trying times. So as you can imagine, he got plenty of submissions, but not all of them were family friendly, so to speak. In fact, there's actually been quite a few naughty videos that he's received. And he said, you got to be careful. I've had a couple of submissions from, let's say, a man and a woman that just didn't seem appropriate to put my voice to in this stage of my life. Maybe later
in
life.
That's unfortunate, but because I bet it would have been funny.
Yeah. He said, I look at these videos very carefully and pick the ones that seem the most wholesome to put my voice to. So
I mean, there are definitely sports terms that he could use, you know, like dismount.
Right. That is quite a dismount right there.
Yeah, yeah. Go in the distance.
Man, his endurance is incredible.
Right.
Look at the form on this guy.
The name of that show on Apple TV that I was going to ask you if you watched was Servant. Have you
watched
Servant?
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about. That's the supernatural.
That's the one that I keep seeing everyone keeps talking about. It's M. Night Shyamalan.
Fantastic. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I heard that's a really good one, too.
Loved it so much, I forgot the title.
Do you guys remember that 10-year-old kid last year that won a science fair by proving that Tom Brady is a cheater?
Do you remember the science fair, how exactly he did that?
You know, I don't remember exactly how he did it, but it was wasn't it some sort of big mathematical
equation
it was
thing?
Complicated.
Yeah.
It was like very impressive. It was like, this kid is brilliant. His name is Ace Davis, right?
It was very topical.
It was. But here's what's funny. He is a huge fan of the Tampa Bay Bucks, whose new quarterback is Tom Brady. Yeah.
Oh, man. How's that going to go?
His mom, Jenny, says, I kept telling my son this is going to come back to haunt you one day. And it didn't take very long. It's completely karma.
Wow.
At the time of the science fair, Ace was asked what he would say to Tom Brady if he met him. And he said, quote, give me some of your money. You don't deserve it.
Oh, wow. Oh,
he's coming to get you now.
I know. It sounds like he's coming around a little bit. He now says he thinks it was Bill Belichick's plan and that Brady just went along with
it.
It was. But Brady shouldered a lot of the blame because, quote, he has a bigger name.
I see.
And yes, and he also says that part of the reason he hated Brady was because of video games. He said he's really bad in Madden, and that's like my number one game.
Oh.
Now, Ace was a big fan of the Bucks' previous quarterback and even still has a poster of him on his wall, but he is willing to give Brady a shot. He'd even like to meet him. He said, I think he'll do great. The weapons around him are woo! Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Scotty Miller, O.J. Howard. He even compared Howard to Brady's former tight end, Rob Gronkowski.
Hmm. Whoa.
So, cool.
Wow.
Yep. Not funny.
Well, this seems about as likely as you know, discovering aliens, but it's worth hoping for. What if the original Blink 182 were to get back together thanks to Tiger King, of all things? One of the 12 million Tiger King memes you've probably seen is that uncomfortable glamour shot of Joe Exotic and his two husbands lying together shirtless with the caption, I miss the old Blink 182.
Oh my God.
So Tom posted the meme and said, quote, I'm Joe, to which Mark Hoppus replied, the hell you're Joe, I'm Joe.
Aww.
And Tom said, quote, either way, you and I end up deeply in love and raising cats. So no word yet Travis Barker, but one of Joe's husbands in the pic just happens to be named Travis, too.
That's funny.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Cincinnati's Q102. It's Jeff and Jen, 725. And we're looking at the possibility of a sprinkle or two before the day is over, as well as these clouds eventually breaking up and giving way to sunshine when it's all over. High temperature 55 today, back in the 60s tomorrow. Right now, 41 at Cincinnati's Q102. So when you're walking around these days, I don't know about you, but when I see someone heading toward me on the sidewalk or at the grocery store, I try to maintain that 6 feet of distance as best I can. If I see them wearing a mask, I appreciate it. I don't know why they're wearing a mask. I don't know if they've got something or if they're wearing it to protect themselves, but whatever. I appreciate
it. I'm seeing a lot. Aren't you seeing a lot? I'm noticing.
Yes. Even in people who are driving in their car by themselves, I see people wearing masks.
Right. And I want to ask them, so where'd you get that?
Right.
Where were you able to find it?
That has
your secret? Do you have a stash?
That's been a bone of contention for a lot of people. We purchased a couple of boxes of masks when you could buy them. I got mine at Walgreens before we left for our trip to Asia. And they were in plentiful supply because we weren't really worried about it coming here. So we bought a couple of boxes, and I think I had three left when I came home. And that I passed on to Kristen's mom. They were all individually wrapped. They were by Curad. And then when it looked like it was coming here, I went on Amazon to see if I could purchase more because I couldn't find any in the stores. And the only ones I could find were very expensive and they weren't individually wrapped, but I purchased them anyway. I made the decision to purchase them anyway because they weren't for me. They were for Kristen's mom, who has an underlying health condition related to her lungs, and she's in her mid-70s, and we wanted to give her whatever barrier protection we could. And so that was the solution we went with at the time, and I'm pleased to report she's home and she's healthy and she's self-quarantining. We heard a lot of experts say, look, those things don't work. They're not going to protect you. And please don't buy them up because these are needed by the people working the front lines.
Yeah.
Well, now The CDC and Dr. Anthony Fauci says the government is strongly considering a recommendation for Americans to wear masks in public. Now, they're not talking about surgical masks. And they're not talking about the N95 masks. The hospitals need those still. They're talking about cloth masks, which I saw a lot of in Asia from people who wear them on a regular basis.
Our neighbor made one and brought it over. I'll have to go get it because it's in, she made it to a, I don't know if it was like a craft project for her and her daughter or whatever, but they made us one with fabric on it. And I guess you can put like a piece of like furnace filter or some kind of filter like down inside of it. And that kind of is supposed to be blocking the germs, but it's just like a cloth mask that you have, you can do like a replaceable filter on.
I've seen a bunch on Etsy that are totally blinged out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw people walking the streets of Seoul, South Korea, styling. And they had all kinds of different fabrics that they were using. Some of the more micro fabrics or the stretchier fabrics that sort of mold to your face better to prevent any gaps or leakage. But these cloth masks, which I will tell you up front, are not very effective at preventing you from getting the virus. However, the experts say it can help prevent you from spreading the virus if you have it, and that is key.
Yeah.
Yes. And there is the risk of the mask becoming contaminated, too, which could increase the chances of you getting infected, which is why this recommendation is not official. However, they have spent quite a bit of time discussing it, and it's not off the table yet.
I would assume if you have a cloth, you know, you have to wash that thing.
Yes.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like hot water every – can you wear it for a whole day? Or do you switch it out halfway through the day and wash it?
Yeah, those are some good questions.
I have so many questions.
Well, and I suspect when they finally do decide to, you know, make a final determination on that, it'll come with guidelines that'll – help walk us through it. But some of the other developments is the government now is giving its first official projection of the potential toll from the coronavirus pandemic. The experts now project between 100,000 and 240,000 deaths, and that's with social distancing bringing the numbers down. President Trump talked about it. He said, get ready. The next 2 weeks are going to be really bad.
This could be a hell of a bad 2 weeks. This is going to be a very bad 2 and maybe even 3 weeks. This is going to be 3 weeks like we haven't seen before.
Yeah, he said that over 2 million people would have died if everyone just wrote it out and did nothing.
The question is, what would have happened if we did nothing? Because there was a group that said, let's just write it out. Let's write it out. What would have happened? And that number comes in at 1.5 to 1.6 million people. Up to 2.2 and even beyond. So that's 2.2 million people would have died if we did nothing. We just carried on our life.
Yeah, that info is from experts on his coronavirus task force. And based on models, health experts say that, you know, again, if we do everything right, we could significantly reduce that. But we're still talking between 100,000 and 240,000 people dying of the coronavirus. The head of his task force, Dr. Deborah L. Birx, was talking about those numbers.
So, of course, this is a projection, and it's a projection based on using very much what's happened in Italy and then looking at all the models. And so, as you saw on that slide, that was our real number, that 100,000 to 200,000. And we think that that is the range. We really believe and hope every day that we can do a lot better than that, because that's not assuming 100% of every American does everything that they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, she made a good point. She said, you know, there's no magic bullet to this. There's no magic vaccine or therapy yet. It really just boils down to behaviors from now. Each of our behaviors translating into something that changes the course of this viral pandemic over the next 30 days. That's going to be key. And when we look at how this has really just affected all of our lives, 88% of Americans say the coronavirus outbreak has changed their lives in some way, with almost half saying it's changed their life in a major way.
Yeah.
They say that loss of smell and taste are the best way to tell if you have coronavirus, even more than a fever. And
I'm in trouble there because my sense of smell isn't all that great to begin with.
No?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not. I think 20 years of smoking might have done a number on my sense of smell. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you know that. I don't even think I smell the vegetables, Fritch cooks.
That could be a blessing.
I barely notice that. Yeah,
it might
in
be
a lot
blessing.
Of ways it is. In a oh, lot of man. Ways it is. And then sometimes I think, well, you know, maybe I should shower. But I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine that being like a part of your life. Like my boyfriend had sinus surgery back in January. And his sinuses were so bad, and that was like part of it. Like he lost his ability to taste food, and kind of because all of that is connected. And so that was like he knew he had like a big major problem when he lost the ability to taste. And I'm like, I can't, like, as much as we talk about food on this show,
right?
I can't imagine that happening in life, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I might be thin. Him?
Yeah, it's come back. It has.
Good. I thought the same thing, Jen.
Yeah, it might be. That might be exactly what I, you know.
It doesn't help, though. Because he just would eat, like, just to eat because he knew it was time to eat. And he couldn't taste the food. Like, he felt hungry, but he couldn't taste it. But he would still eat just because he's like,
if you can't taste it, though, do you make choices, healthier choices? You know, you eat a lot of kale.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I will tell you, I did cook Brussels sprouts. At my house on Monday night, and it still smells like farts in here.
Oh, that's so funny.
Great.
There's a video was posted yesterday of Larry David ripping on the idiots who wouldn't stay home. They have a name for it now. They're calling them COVIDiots. Yeah. If you don't know, Larry David is a big germaphobe, as is his Larry David character on HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm. And just last week on his Curb Your Enthusiasm show, he had hand sanitizer on every table of his new coffee shop.
I basically want to address the idiots out there. And you know who you are. You're going out. I don't know what you're doing. You're socializing too close. It's not good. You're hurting old people like me. Nothing good ever happens going out of the house. You know that. There's just trouble out there. It's not a good place to be. So stay home and, you know, don't see anyone. Except maybe if there's a plumbing emergency, let the plumber in and then, you know, wipe everything down after he leaves. But that's it.
Yeah. Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones was Conan's house guest last night, Jen.
Oh,
and
nice.
She was explaining why she personally gets frustrated seeing people still out in large groups.
My eldest brother and my sister-in-law, they are doctors and they just got transferred to the ICU. And it's so frustrating seeing these people like going out and spring breaking all over the place. Like in Malibu, it's packed right now. And I don't understand how you can be, you know, that selfish to put doctors' lives at risk who are going to have to end up treating you and then, you know, become vulnerable to the infection by treating you. I mean, you're literally being asked to do nothing. It should be fairly easy.
That's her cell phone, by the way, that keeps chiming. But speaking of Game of Thrones, though, I thought this was great. Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. We mentioned this earlier this morning. She's offering you the chance to have a virtual dinner with her for charity. She is raising money for the Same You COVID-19 Relief Fund in the UK. And she said 12 of those who donate will join her to sit down and eat.
Hi, everyone. I'm coming at you with a little request. Would you like to help me raise £250,000 for Same You's COVID-19 Relief Fund? There's a thank you attached. 12 lucky people will join me virtually, and we're going to put together a store cupboard dinner together. We'll cook it, and then we'll eat it together. And we will discuss lots of things. You isolation and fear and also funny videos. And, you know, the fact that I can't really cook. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
There you go. I would do that.
She's so cute. I'm enjoying the accents this morning between
me
her
too.
And
I was going to say she sounds
they're
so adorable. So,
they're both just precious.
I mean, wouldn't that be cool to have a virtual dinner with the mother of dragons?
The mother of dragons? Yes. She is so cute and sweet and funny. She's just adorable.
Yeah.
So that would be fun.
So anyway, I wanted to share with you how this is really affecting people here locally as well. I got word last night that the ER doc who treated my ex-wife, Pam, if you recall, when we were still married about 10 years ago, she suffered a heart attack. I woke up in the middle of the night. She was not in the bedroom, which was unusual, and she'd been gone quite a bit. And I went out the hallway, and I found her collapsed in the hall, and I scooped her up. And we were lucky enough to live around the corner from Christ Hospital at the time, and so I brought her in. And the ER doc who treated her, Dr. Frank Gabron, saved her life, basically. And he had since moved to New York and was still working in ERs in the midst of all of this. And he was forced to wear the same mask for days because of the shortage they're having with the personal protective equipment and masks. He ended up wearing the same mask for a week before he started showing symptoms for COVID-19. And he ultimately died of complications due to coronavirus.
Oh, how sad.
And so,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we were really sad to hear that, but I was asked by one of his colleagues to mention it because they wanted us to really just illustrate the risk, the personal risk that these frontline medical personnel and all of the people who are working the front lines of this are really putting themselves in harm's way to treat people and save lives, which
she did.
I don't
know how they do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get up and do it every day. Just the mindset that you have to put yourself into. I mean, we all are risking getting sick and dying every time that we come into contact with another human being that hasn't been quarantined, mm-hmm. right? Or any time yep. that we go out in public. But to put yourself in a room full of people who have the virus and your job is to help them get better and you're walking into – it's a war zone.
Yes, it is.
That you're walking into every single day and just the bravery that takes and the selflessness and the caring and the hope for the well-being of everyone else first, to me, is just how can we take better care of them? What can we do?
Well, we could stay home for one.
Yes, absolutely.
And if there's anything that we can do in the effort to get them the equipment that they need to be able to do their job and protect themselves in the process. Again, Dr. Frank was wearing the same protective mask for over a week as he valiantly cared for the sick. And then he developed symptoms. And over the course of the past few days, he eventually succumbed. But just reading through some of the tributes on Facebook, we lost a true hero that selflessly stood toe to toe with this nightmare as he was surely ill-equipped, but pressed on anyhow. His unimaginable loss will be felt for some time and thus has greatly made the world a far lesser place. It was an honor to have learned from and worked alongside him. Rest easy, Doc. We'll continue to give it our best and make you proud. And just going through the tributes and looking at the pictures on his Facebook page, he was extremely well-liked and just a light to everyone around him. And so we wanted to convey our condolences to Dr. Frank Gabron and his family and thank him for the work that he did during his time at Christ Hospital and for what he did for my ex-wife, Pamela, when she suffered her heart attack 10 years ago. He saved her life.
That's a number I'm going to be so scared to see when all of this is over and done, how many health workers we've lost.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah. Too young, too. You know, not that any life is less significant than another, regardless of your age, but he had survived cancer twice. So I suppose that would have put him in the category of someone with a compromised immune system. But still, it was painful to hear that. So our hearts go out to his family and his friends and his colleagues.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at CBGAirport.com.